Nisheen, you're a Dundee lassie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Do you belong a family that is or was Dundonian speaking?
Oh, aye, absolutely. I mean, I grew up with Dundonian as my first language. That's I had to learn English as a second lead. If I said that, you know.
Was it something that you'd have said was very important to your family and your friends and their identity?
I think it was, because my granny could speak, you know, she could speak to anybody. So my father was the same, and my father could write a good letter, and my granny was a big reader and all the rest of it. But being able to speak, granny, I said, well, there's nothing wrong with plain speaking, you know. So that was what they were. And being able to say things, you know, things that were fae the hurt, or things that were troublous, or just things that mattered to them. They could aye say mair in the lead, you know. They could aye say mair their own tongue, as it were. But they made sure that we could speak to the teacher, as it were, as you do. Uh-huh. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. I'm just getting out an affy cough. But there'd been a lot of what about. But no, it was part of what they were and where they came from. And I've told often enough the story when I first went to the scale, my first week. And you used to go home, as you did for your dinner in the days, if you were, because we were at the short whack at the scales, and for God knows what reason, granny gave with kippers for our dinner. And of course, with kippers, you aye get an affy druth. So I'd be told, put your hand up, and you might speak to the teacher, and I'd put my hand up and say, please miss, could I go to the well for a drink? And I got that look, you know, you get the teacher look, you know, with thinly veiled contempt. And she said, you may go for a drink, you know, but we don't go to the well, we go to the tap. And of course, I can't wear the tap, was it was up there. My cousin May was at the tap of the scale. She pointed it out to me. She says, that's why my classroom is. See, we've not got real windies, we've got windies in the sky. And I thought, I can't go up by these stairs, I'll get lost. And I stood outside, and for about 5 minutes until I thought I would have had time to get up and do it again, to come back in. And of course, by the time I got home, I was raging. The truth was incredible. And I went to the, what the hell's wrong with you, you know? And tell her the story that I wanted to go to the well, but she said the well was at the tap. And I said, no, the tap is what Panlofi folk cry the well. And you'll hate to learn when you're out among them that there's different words for things, and you'll just hate to mind. So I was beginning, I was beginning to get this impression, you know, that the way I spoke was wrong. And that's very.
And these folks say the same thing.
There were things, Scots things that we were not allowed to say, because that was Ori.
Aye.
And there was the distinction between what was fine to say and what was Ori, you know.
Like an Oni tongue, you have an Oni tongue,
you've got the formal, the informal, and all the rest of it. But it was, and the thing I think that. Well, the fact that Abadi in my family and Abadi around the book was spoke the way I spoke, and I could be comfy speaking to them in that way, kept it going. That and the sangs. Because even in the scale, you got the sangs. And in their days, they gave you wee willy winky, right? Give them their due. You got wee willy winky running through the tune. You know the nonsense that you get some places now. Wee willy winky runs through the town. You think, what? Get off!
Something all anglified.
Yeah, I know. And of course, the problem with anglifying something like willy winky is you can only really anglify the first verse. Because the rest of it is actually, I have looked at it, because I do the Scots Sang class up at the Whiting Centre for, I mean, basically for people that are up in years, although we've got some younger ones as well. And we've looked at the song and thought, that would really, really be hard to put that into English, you know. the dog spelled it on the flare. In the gear cheap. Here's a whacker of a laddie that doesn't fast. Eh? So
it would fash you when you see something in Scots that's been footered about way and turned into this kind of tortured beastie.
Oh, God, it would just give you the dread bolt, because they... Now, that McGranny used to say, that's sorry, stop saying that. But it's very, it's an happy, expressive way to say it, gee, the dread book.
Mm-hmm. But and do you think folk in Dundee speaks muckle Scots nowadays? And do you think folks leal to the Dundonian dialect?
Dundonian, they speak. They still speak it. It's lost a lot of the words, and it's kind of in some places, and the scales, some of the scales are doing their best to bring back to a good Scots. You get that kind of stuff that thinks it's Scots, but it's, no, it just means that they've left out all the consonants and they're just going, ah, yeah. But mind it, they say in Dundee you can actually make a sentence without... I think the there's the famous thing about where's the pay? You know, which is actually to me a perfectly logical sentence, but it doesn't actually have any consonants in it. But no, it's still there. It's still there. A lot of the old words are away, but they're still, and I feel lucky here because we've got a couple of youngish guys, particularly. We've got folk like Ellie MacDonald and Billy and all the rest of it around here that are doing things. But also we've got a couple of young guys. We've got Mark Thompson and we've got Gary Robertson. And thanks be, they're going in the scales. And Mark in particular has done some really great, great work with the Bairns and Bill Dragon. And you know, the schemes, mm-hmm. making them think, you know, really giving them the right slant on the drugs. I mean, they get all the anti-drugs message, don't they? They'll go, aye, aye, right. But he goes in there and gets them to write a poem about the deal and all the rest of it. And it makes them think, because this is somebody speaking to them the way they speak.
So it makes it them... The message gets through because it's in their own tongue.
It's their own tongue. Aye. It's their own tongue. It's no somebody talking down to them. Mm. It's somebody talking to them. Mm. And it's the difference. And it's, and we're lucky that we've got Matt and Gary as well doing stuff. And being young and being punchy and all the rest. I was kind of disappointed because Mark was at the Trad Awards in Perth. And it was supposed to be Button Ben, a go-go.
Oh, aye.
Matthew. It was supposed to be Matthew Fitton, and Matthew wasn't able to date, and he got Mark to date. And he was brilliant. And they didn't show it on the telly.
I know.
I'm actually going into BBC Alba on Thursday. I think I'll be chatting somebody's door, saying, hey, what's the game? Just because you didn't understand it. There was a lot of folk who would have.
Oh, aye.
Yeah. They showed Matthews the year before, but they didn't show. I was disappointed for Mark.
Aye. Would you say there's anything Kent speckle about the Scots spoken Dundee? Does it differ muckle for the language of, say, Angus or Scots spoken in other areas?
I think, and it's that eh. It's that. If you hear it, it sounds harder.
Mepe.
And it's a funny way we do it. We didn't I put the A in I. Within it, I was put an F or an I.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had this theory, unless you're native, Billy's probably the one that's come closest to picking up on the wee nuances of it. But I say unless you're a native, it's awfully hard. You know, you get folks saying that. I can't mind what it was. It was I think it was when one of Billy's books was coming out, and somebody in Glasgow, one of the reviewers or one of the commentators, said that I was at work in Dundee, you know, and Dundee they put the F or the I, and people nip into Cars Bar for a pint, and I nobody would nip into Casbar for a pint unless they've been employed to redecorate the place. They might go in for a pint, but they're not going to go in for a pint, you know. And we didn't say, here comes, you know, if we're standing outside the church and there's a wedding, we didn't say, here comes the bread unless the baker's van's turned the corner. You know, there are subtleties. It's no, I was the same.
And it's hard for folk that doesn't belong to
Dundee. Doesn't belong to Dundee to come up.
Pick up on maybe bead and Dundee.
I mean, my man, if he comes in, he's just up the road for odds and bits, but he's originally Southampton, but Scottish by assimilation, naturalisation, the whole butt. And he can follow, and he can actually speak it quite well when he has a mind to.
Right.
But he does get the nuances. But when he first come up, he went out for a pint with my brother, as they do. There's a typical Dundee. You know, 12 minutes in the house, but they're like, right, we'll just go to the pub. We'll leave you woman to speak. They keep telling me that new man has arrived in Dundee, but I've yet to see him. Mind you, new woman arrived here about 150 years ago, so that's probably the reason. She was ruling the roost then. But they went down to the pub, and for the first couple of hours, Pair Malcolm was standing there, absolutely wondering what the hell, terrified out of his wits half the time, and wondering what the hell was going on, because everybody seemed to come across aggressive and out, you know. And he said, I thought somebody was actually challenging Angus to a fight. He was only asking him how Ruby and the Bairns were. The way he come across it. But he has managed to understand it now. He understands perfectly well. And it actually gets quite annoyed when people translate for him, you know, just because they hear his voice and think, oh, no, understand. No, he does understand perfectly well. But there is a difference, and it's a defined difference. Mm-hmm. Now, there's people in Broughty Ferry that claim they can't understand what Dundee people say. But,
Uh-huh.
They would, you know, that's Broughty Ferry for you.
Would you class them as generally Scots-speaking in the Ferry?
No, nowadays. I can mind when I was a bairn, and there was still some of the fisher folk there. And they had their own. They didn't speak Dundee. It was a kind of different. It was Mair Angus, Mair like Arbroath.
But you wouldn't get this community new.
No, there's no. It's no there in the same way. I think the. Mm-hmm. But they were at that time when I was young. There was the native kind of Broughty Ferry, but it's now a. It's a nice. It's a bonny place to live actually, doing the ferry. And it's a. But it's never really, mind you, Lochy's never felt itself to be Dundee either. Certainly no when I was wee. Lochy, when you lived in Lochy, you didn't go downtown, you went into Dundee.
Aye.
Yeah. Even though you were just going in the tram car. I'm going into Dundee. Yeah.
And would they, in Lochy, would they be classed as speaking just the same Dundonian as Aubdy, or do they hear particular
I think they had a particular, there was always a slight, what I always feel would be a slight Irish tinge. Correct. To Lochy. Mm-hmm. Lochy bairns used to hear their ma and their da, whereas bairns and other parts of Dundee would hear ma and da, mm-hmm. or ma and dad, or mother and dad, you know. Mm-hmm. But Lochy bairns, a lot of Lochy bairns had their ma and their da, which of course is for the Irish Gaelic. Mm-hmm. So it comes. A lot of them came across with Donegal, so they would be into the Gaeltacht, and they would come. So they probably affected it that way. Mm-hmm. There's all these influences come in.
So folk in other parts of Dundee could tell somebody that belonged to Lochy.
Yeah. Nowadays, Aberdee sounds the same, you know. But in their days, there was that variation, and you could tell people that came from Angus, or the Chuchters, as we.
The Chuchters.
Or the Pyuckies, which is a rare word, that, isn't it? Pyuckies. There's Pyuckies. Pyuckies tended to come from Perthshire. Right. Chuchters came from Angus. Then he asked me what the difference was. There's part of the lore that I learnt on the berry fields.
Right.
There are no Chuchters round here, they're Pyuckies. That was a war up at Cranslee.
Uh-huh.
But, no, it was a. And you'll still hear it. I mean, if you go to the bingo hall, as long as you're just earwigging, you'll hear folks saying it. You'll hear folks speaking to other women. And they always said that part of the reason we had such a, the air and all the rest of it, was because of the mills and the factories, and so many of them working, it was so noisy. And of course they all used the sign language and spoke the mind, and they just spoke without speaking, because you couldn't speak over the racket. And they were really good at it, because I can mind going down the toon with my aunties when I was wee, and they'd see a pal across the other side of the Murray Gate, and there'd be a quick, not a word spoken, and turn around and say, we'll meet Bella at 3 o'clock and Andrew G. Kids for a cup of tea. She's just a while getting shoes for the bairns. And you think, how could you tell that? You know?
Yeah.
And they used to be able to speak to each other across the bus.
Right.
Things like that. I mean, I never picked any up, which I was a bit dull, but I should have done. I wish I had, because there's very few folk left that can do it now.
And did they use it, do you think, when they didn't want the bairns to ken about
things?
Oh,
frequently. Oh, yeah. Because in the days you couldn't say anybody was expecting until the bairn was actually produced. Folk would be waddling about, and if any of us had ever thought to say, is she ain't a bairn? Wallop! Skied across the line into the wah. That was another thing. They had millions of words for getting hot in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You could get half-mallied. You could get... you started off getting belted, walloped, thumped, half-mallied, half-mallocated. It wasn't as violent as it sounds. It was just the language was more violent than the actual hit.